I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Dave and Degenovic. A new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
So I'm going to take a walk on the cautious side for just a second, give you a little ears alert, parents. If you've got little ears in the area, this might be one of those conversations you want to turn down for about the next 10 minutes or so. And then podcast us and listen to it later. Because we're talking about kids. And some very serious criminal charges that are now put on a school board member, that a school board member with Salt Lake City School District is facing. And so I hope I've given you enough time to turn down the audio here. And frankly, these charges, Connor, are disgusting in my view. They're very serious charges involving children. And we expect, you know, the most of those who are in charge of our schools. And this case just makes me concerned, and it should make other parents concerned as well.
Absolutely. I think this is something that parents need to be monitoring a bit, and I'm excited to kind of dig into this because it is troubling.
So he resigned the position. This was a big news story last week. He was arrested, resigned, and I want to go over briefly the charges, because I think there's just a couple of lines in a jail document. So when law enforcement books people into jail, they fill out a form, and it lets the public know and the individual know what the person's been arrested for. So I'm going to go over, and you'll get the idea. So when officers went to this board member's home, they found a Snapchat account. All right. He allegedly, and these are all allegations, he was communicating with children, identifying themselves as between 12 and 17 years old. And he knows the ages, according to law enforcement, when he's communicating with them. And he asks for inappropriate photos. I'll just say naked photos of these kids. And he directs kids to do and commit certain acts that every parent would be mortified to find out. That their child was somehow ensnared in this over a social media app or any other way. That is the basis for the allegations facing this former Salt Lake City school board member. I wanted to get that out of the way because I think the more the broader discussion that we have to have is how do we know as parents that this is happening to our kids? What is the worst social media app? Is it Snapchat, or are there others that we need to be worried about? Our kids have access to phones now all the time, Connor, and as a parent myself, trying to parent in the age of the internet, this kind of stuff scared me.
It is, and you know, my kids are 12 and 10, and we're having to figure out, man, when their peers, their friends their age, have unlimited access to cell phones and chat and messenger, who knows who they're interacting with? Who knows what types of conversations they're having? And if parents do not actively pay attention and have parental controls and restrictions and even monitoring in place to make sure that their children are being guided and protected, you have no clue about the people that they are unwittingly interacting with. And these kids lack the brain development to know how to handle these situations, and they can get nurtured along to doing horrible, unspeakable things. And so it's really important that parents take a very active role. And frankly, I'll just say it, not give your kids, you know, full access to a smartphone at a young age. I'm excited by like Gab Wireless and some of these other phones that allow kids to, you know, utilize the technology, but not have this unfettered access to all these potentially dangerous things.
I would like to bring Alan White now into the conversation because he's the commander of the Utah Attorney General's Office Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. Good morning, Commander White.
Good morning.
For those listeners who don't know exactly what ICAC or Internet Crimes Against Children's Task Force does on a regular basis, you all kind of go after predators on the Internet, don't you?
We do. We have 37 federal, state, and local affiliate agencies throughout the state of Utah and about 100 officers that are trained in various stages of the training.
Which makes me feel like with a staff that size of investigators that there are no shortage of creeps on the Internet.
We stay busy, yes. We average probably close to 300, some peak months, maybe 400 cases a month.
Wow. Alan, I know you can't speak to this case specifically, but more generally, can you speak to how all these people are going about their business? Are they researching and finding others who have downloaded this you know, horrible material, child pornography and the like? Are they acting as, you know, children trying to kind of entice or solicit adults to say things or do things, and so they're kind of holding themselves out to be, you know, these young kids when they really aren't? Or how do you kind of go about your activity to find these bad guys?
Yes, D, that would be all the above. Any platform, social media platform or gaming platform on a computer that kids are involved with will likely find predators in that same space. And as you've previously mentioned, parental controls and parents actually monitoring and taking the time. It is time consuming. I understand that, but that's a key piece to stay on top of the communication children have while they're online.
Commander White, would you say that Snapchat, though, is the worst platform for this kind of behavior? Or is there another social media app? Can you list some for us that we need to be aware of?
Yeah, any platform, really. Some of the more likely platforms that we've seen more investigations involved around would be MeetMe, WhatsApp, Bumble, Grindr, Discord, Scout, Kick, Whisper, and obviously any gaming platform
all
on
of
a
the
computer.
Above, once again, right? Like, you know, Debbie, I was a kid, right? And when I was a kid, I was more technologically savvy than my parents. And my parents were active parents. They had passwords. They tried to, you know, of course, they didn't do the greatest passwords. They do, like, their social security number, their birthday. I'm like, come on, guys. Like, those are the first things I'm going to try. But you know, they would restrict things. But look, we live in a day when it's so easy to defeat parental controls. You may have your Wi-Fi locked down and your computers locked down, but all your, you know, kids have to do, if they've got access to, you know, Verizon or AT&T, like, use the wireless network rather than your Wi-Fi network, or they just go to a friend's house or they use a friend's device. So as much as we want to talk about technological parental controls, it's also important that we talk about just having those conversations and empowering and educating these kids so that when they do encounter this stuff, they know how to handle it because it's out there and it's so accessible. Alan, I'm curious if you know the statistic. Last I looked into it was the average child is now exposed to pornography at the age of 11. Are you familiar if that statistic has changed at all?
Not that I'm familiar with. I know some have been exposed as young as 5 on a recent survey that I've read. But
Commander, can you, as we wrap up our conversation with you, can you give us any insight at all as to how parents can tell if their child is a target of a sexual predator online We often hear things like watch their behavior changes. Look for even gifts that randomly show up at the house because maybe they're being groomed by an adult who is trying to get them to send them inappropriate photos. Are there any other pieces of advice you can add to the tips we already know?
I can go over the six stages of the sexual grooming process that a predator will step through. Stage one, targeting a victim. So they're on the platform. Stage two, gaining the child's trust. Stage three, filling a need for that child. Stage four, isolating the child. Stage five is actual sexual contact. And stage six is maintaining control of that child.
These are things that parents should actively be looking into. As a parent myself, we have to be on the watch. This is happening. It's real. As was just mentioned, there's a lot of people working in government going after these guys, so it's something we need to be watchful for. Commander Alan White with the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force, thank you for joining us.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.